Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Picture this. You're sitting on your couch, you've just finished a really long day, and you open up your phone.
Oh, a dangerous move.
Right. You start scrolling through your feed, and instantly you are hit with just an absolute avalanche. There's outrage over a new domestic policy, aggressive claims about a global conflict, and like three different accounts you follow are shouting entirely different facts about the exact same event.
Yeah.
You probably walk away from that screen feeling completely overwhelmed, totally exhausted, and honestly not entirely sure what reality is anymore.
It is a profoundly modern kind of exhaustion, I think. We carry the sum of human knowledge in our pockets, yet the architecture of the internet, well, it often leaves us feeling less informed and honestly more manipulated than ever.
Exactly. And that is exactly why today's deep dive is so incredibly relevant. We are tackling the mechanics of the digital information war. And more importantly, our mission today is to arm you with a practical AI-powered toolkit to navigate online bias, evaluate the claims flooding your timeline, and basically avoid becoming a passive casualty in that war.
And just to set the ground rules, before we get into the weeds here, we are going to be talking about some very real-world examples today.
Yeah, we really have to for this to make sense.
Right. The sources we're analyzing, they reference highly charged topics, nations like Iran and Israel, and polarizing political figures like Donald Trump.
Right. The exact subjects that usually turn comment sections into absolute battlegrounds.
Precisely. So we need to be crystal clear with you, the listener. We do not have a horse in this race. We are strictly impartial.
100%.
We are not taking sides, and we are not endorsing any specific political viewpoint, nation, or figure mentioned today. Our sole purpose is to impartially break down the critical thinking frameworks used to weaponize and deconstruct information, regardless of who is actually hitting the publish button.
Okay, let's unpack this. The fundamental premise we're dealing with is that an information war is raging around us constantly. Like every single post you see about world leaders, governments, or international conflicts, it's actively competing for your sympathy.
And ultimately, your belief.
Yes. They want you to buy into their specific narrative.
The uncomfortable truth about this environment, and the source material leans heavily into this, is that the people making these posts, on all sides of any given issue, they're posting with absolute conviction.
But conviction is not the same thing as truth.
Exactly. You have to start viewing a post not as this sterile delivery mechanism for facts, but as a mirror. It reflects the author's underlying competence, their worldview, and their specific agenda. If you read a highly charged post, feel a surge of emotion, and immediately share or react without thinking,
you've already lost.
You become a casualty, yes.
That sounds great in theory, but let's be real. When you see a headline that makes your blood boil, staying analytical is incredibly difficult. How does this framework actually stop that knee-jerk reaction? Like, if I'm looking at an aggressive post claiming a specific leader is a terrible monster, or alternatively, a flawless hero, how do I actually process that?
You have to adopt a proactive interrogation strategy. It forces a pause between stimulus and response.
So stopping the scroll?
Right. You stop scrolling and you ask yourself four critical questions. Number one, who posted this and what did they stand to gain? Number two, is this the full picture or am I just being shown one carefully curated angle?
Which is so common on social media.
Extremely common. Number three, does the poster show evidence of real knowledge or are they operating on pure emotion? And number four, what would someone on the exact opposite side of this issue say?
Oof. That fourth question is the tough one because it forces you to actively step outside your own algorithmic bubble.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, asking those four questions shifts your brain from passive consumption to active evaluation. You are reading the author, not just the text.
Right.
And there are four distinct metrics the text gives us to assess the person behind the keyboard. First, look at their knowledge. Are they demonstrating a nuanced understanding of a complex topic, or are they just repeating catchy slogans?
Because slogans are designed to go viral, but actual nuanced knowledge takes time to read.
Exactly. The second metric is bias.
And I assume this doesn't just mean, do I disagree with them?
No, not at all. Assessing bias means looking at whether the author acknowledges that a situation might be complex and multifaceted. If they are forcefully pushing a completely one-sided narrative, where their side is entirely flawless and the other side is pure evil.
That lack of nuance is a massive red flag.
It's a huge red flag for heavy bias. Which brings us to the third metric, which is intent.
Are they trying to inform you, persuade you, or simply inflame you?
Right, because inflammatory posts are strategically designed to bypass your logic and hit your emotional triggers directly.
They want you mad.
They do. And that ties right into the fourth metric, which is credibility. Are they citing actual evidence to back up their strong claims? Or are they relying entirely on their own outrage and bold assertions to do the heavy lifting?
Okay, I see why this is so important. This framework basically gives you your agency back. You become your own filter, deciding exactly how much weight to give someone's views without needing some pundit to tell you what to think.
Exactly. You're taking back control.
So pivoting from assessing the post to actually engaging with it, the source outlines this golden rule of online engagement. Once you've evaluated a post and you feel compelled to jump into the comments, which happens to the best of us, the rule is always critique the information, never attack the person.
It's the classic pivot from ad hominem attacks to actual informational critique. Instead of calling someone a shill or an idiot, you point out the missing context in their timeline of events.
So let me push back a little. Isn't it wildly satisfying to just call out a troll? Why go through the effort of a measured critique when someone is clearly acting in bad faith?
Because attacking someone directly instantly shuts down any possibility of thought, not just for them, but for anyone else reading the thread. The walls go up immediately.
People get defensive.
They do. But when you critique the information, you are letting their own words hang in the air. The way a person posts reveals their biases and their level of competence far more effectively than your direct attack ever could.
Let them tell them themselves.
Precisely. When you keep your cool and let your response be thoughtful and balanced, you establish your own credibility. You win the interaction by refusing to roll in the mud.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Yep. Up to this point, we've talked about mental frameworks, which, let's be honest, require a lot of cognitive energy. But there is a highly practical, technological solution to all of this.
A very modern solution.
Yes. You don't need a PhD in geopolitics to fight back. You can actually use large language models, tools like Claude or ChatGPT, as your own personal, on-demand, critical thinking assistants.
It is a brilliant asymmetrical application of the technology. We're usually taught to use AI to write emails or summarize long articles, but you can actually deploy it defensively.
Defensively. I like that.
There is a specific five-step workflow for this kind of active defense. Step one is simply to copy.
Just copy the text.
Yes. When you see a post making strong political, historical, or factual claims that trigger your skepticism, grab the text.
Okay, so I copy the text. What do I actually ask the AI to do with it?
Step two is paste and prompt. You paste the text into your AI of choice, and you use a very specific prompt. You tell it, please critique this post for accuracy, bias, and missing context.
Okay, wait. Why that exact phrasing? Why specifically ask for missing context?
Because of how large language models are engineered. If you just ask an AI to analyze a text, it will often just summarize what is already there. It essentially agrees with the premise.
Oh, that makes sense.
But when you explicitly prompt it for missing context, you are forcing the algorithm to bypass its standard summarization programming. You are instructing it to dive into its vast training data and actively retrieve counterarguments, historical precedents, and peripheral facts that the original author deliberately omitted.
You're asking for the other side of the coin.
Exactly. It forces the AI to highlight the negative space of the argument.
That is fascinating. It's like having a team of researchers instantly pointing out the holes in a politician's speech. So the AI spits out this rigorous critique. Is that step three?
Step three is discuss. And this is where most people fail when using AI.
Really?
Because you do not just accept the AI's first output as the absolute gospel truth. You have to spar with it.
What does that actually look like in practice? Sparring with an AI?
It looks like an interrogation.
Yeah.
The AI gives you a wall of text critiquing the post. You read it and push back. You might ask, wait, is the primary source you just cited actually reliable?
Fact-checking the fact-checker.
Exactly. Or you might say, play devil's advocate against your own critique. What is the strongest valid point the original poster actually made?
Oh, wow.
You use the AI as a sparring partner to help you see the issue from three or four different angles before you form your own conclusion.
I see. You are basically stress testing your own understanding of the topic before you ever engage with the real person online.
Precisely. Which brings us to step four, summarize. Once you've had that rigorous back and forth, you ask the AI, give me a concise, balanced summary of your critique.
You want to strip the emotion out completely.
Yes. You want a refined, unemotional breakdown of the facts.
And finally, step five, engage. You take that concise, balanced summary and you post it as a comment on the original thread.
This raises an important question about our responsibility in digital spaces. When you post that AI-generated balanced summary, you are actively adding light rather than heat to the ecosystem.
You're de-escalating.
You're adding real value to the conversation. And you're providing a ladder for other readers who might be scrolling by, helping them think critically about the post too. You act as a sort of digital medic.
I really appreciate that perspective, a digital medic. But we can't just use this toolkit to point fingers at other people's bad takes. The text makes it clear we also have to turn the mirror inward.
We do.
Before you share anything yourself, you have to subject your own thoughts to the exact same scrutiny. Am I only presenting the side that aligns with my politics? Have I actually verified these claims, or am I just angry?
There is a spectacularly blunt piece of advice in the source material that perfectly encapsulates this. It's simply labeled as a father's advice, and it reads, "If you open your mouth, people will know that you are stupid."
It's harsh, but completely accurate in the digital age. If you blast out unverified emotion, you are doing the heavy lifting of ruining your own credibility.
You are.
But I want to test this methodology a bit. How do we know if this AI toolkit actually catches the nuance of the information war? Because a lot of modern propaganda isn't just blatantly fake news. It's subtle, or it uses humor and irony to mask its intent.
That is a crucial point. To truly test this framework, the text provides a highly complex satirical piece of writing. It's designed to mimic the style of regional propaganda, specifically to see if the AI can dissect it.
Right. There is a worked-out example of this in the appendix. It's a hypothetical post titled Good News and Bad News, and it's framed as an official press announcement from a spokesperson in heaven.
Walk us through the mechanics of that post.
Okay, so it starts with the bad news. It announces that the second coming of the Christian God and the arrival of the Jewish Messiah have been indefinitely postponed.
And the reason given?
The reason given is that their descent vehicles from heaven were intercepted and destroyed by overlapping, uncoordinated missile defense systems operated by Iran, Israel, and the United States.
A heavily loaded scenario.
Very. It goes on to say that search teams looking for the wreckage only managed to find a few fragments that looked like the remains of donkeys.
Okay, so that's the bad news. And the good news.
The good news is that, miraculously, the exceedingly low casualty rate, especially given the absolute mountains of explosives currently being exchanged in the region, will continue for the foreseeable future.
Right.
But the most vital part of this entire example is the additional note tacked on at the very bottom. It reads, "This announcement contains approximately the same amount of verified information as many of the messages currently circulating in the Middle East cyber war."
What's fascinating here is how an AI assistant actually processes this text when prompted for accuracy, bias, and missing context. The AI doesn't just blindly fact-check the existence of heavenly descent vehicles.
Because that would be absurd.
Exactly. It immediately identifies the genre. It recognizes that this is pure satire. It notes that the text uses the rigid bureaucratic format of an official military or government announcement to mock all three parties involved, Iran, Israel, and the U.S., completely equally.
It refuses to assign blame to a single side.
Precisely. And when it looks at the verified facts, the AI's critique is simple. There are zero facts here.
But crucially, the Post honestly admits this in its final disclaimer.
Furthermore, the AI correctly assesses the intent. The intent here isn't to deceive the public about an actual event. It's to use absolute absurdity to hold up a mirror. It wants to show the reader just how contradictory, unverified, and chaotic the reporting around these conflicts actually is.
But an AI critique would also flag a major risk here, wouldn't it? Because satire is incredibly dangerous in an environment where people scroll past at lightning speed.
Absolutely. The AI points out that someone might read just the first half of that post, completely miss the punchline and the disclaimer at the bottom, and actually take it seriously.
Or worse, strip the disclaimer off entirely and share it as a factual conspiracy theory about overlapping missile defense systems.
Which happens all the time.
Which brings us to the ultimate lesson of this entire satirical exercise. Even a post that is transparently fake, completely fictional, and totally self-aware can illustrate a profound truth about our digital landscape. Because the real information war isn't fought with clever, self-aware satire.
No. It isn't. The real war is fought with posts that are infinitely less honest. The posts doing the real damage to our civic discourse do not come with a helpful little disclaimer at the bottom telling you they contain zero verified facts.
They present themselves as the absolute, undeniable, urgent truth.
And that is exactly why you need a rigorous toolkit. You cannot rely on the honesty of the author. You must rely entirely on the sharpness of your own critical thinking.
So what does this all mean? Let's do a rapid-fire recap of this defensive toolkit for the listener. First, default to skepticism. Whenever you see a strong claim, no matter what side of the political spectrum it comes from, pause.
Second, deploy your AI. Use it to audit the claim for accuracy, bias, and missing context before you let your emotions take the wheel.
Third, do not accept the first answer. Discuss and spar with the AI.
Fourth, summarize those findings into something objective.
Fifth, be a force for good by sharing those balanced summaries to help inform others.
And finally, the golden rule. Critique the information, never attack the person.
And obviously, scrutinize your own post before you publish.
If there is one core thesis to walk away with today, it is this. The antidote to the information war is not silence. We shouldn't just log off, tune out, and surrender the digital public square to bad actors. The antidote is thinking.
I love that. But I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over. We've just spent this deep dive talking about using AI to draft balanced comments and critique biased posts.
Right.
If that workflow becomes the new standard, if everyone starts doing this, could we eventually reach a point where the information war isn't really fought between humans at all?
Oh, that's an interesting angle.
Imagine a near-future internet where the highly biased, inflammatory posts are automatically generated by AI bots pushing a specific geopolitical agenda. And the thoughtful, balanced rebuttals in the comment sections are also written by AI assistants deployed by users to check those bots.
An endless loop.
Exactly. If algorithms end up doing all the shouting and all the scrutinizing, what happens to human critical thinking? Does relying on AI to filter our reality make us sharper, more elevated editors of information? Or do we just eventually become passive spectators sitting on our couches watching an endless, exhausting debate between machines?
It's a profound question about the future of human agency in a synthetic world. Are we elevating our minds or are we outsourcing them?
Something to keep you up at night, or at least keep you thinking the next time you open up your phone. Thank you for drooping us on this deep dive today. Stay curious, protect your peace, and keep thinking critically the next time you scroll through those feeds. We will catch you next time.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.